4, John's Gospel, chapter 4. We'll be looking at a number of these verses that we read together, but particularly the verse 29, where this woman says, "Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" Here was a dear lady still seeking for the Messiah, still believing he hadn't come. And yet the wonderful transaction of grace that opened her eyes to realize the one with whom she was speaking was indeed the promised Messiah, the promised Redeemer, the Savior of her soul. Let's just still our hearts, please, in a word of prayer before we come to his word for tonight. Eternal God and our Father, tonight we come to thee and we're thankful for the word of God once again. Lord, we thank thee tonight for those who in years gone by gave their lives, gave their all that we might have the word of God in our own language. Eternal God and our Father, we thank thee tonight for the word of God. Lord, we pray that tonight thy word, this word, will become very real to all of our souls. Most especially we pray tonight that thy word will take a dealing with those who are out of Christ. And Lord, that this night, Lord, in this first Lord's Day evening of this new year, Lord, may it be a night of nights to their soul. O God, we pray that as they have come to this meeting, O God, we pray that tonight they'll come, they'll find Christ. They will find in him their all in all. And Lord, that this night they'll leave on their way rejoicing, knowing that Christ has come, knowing that Christ has saved. O Heavenly Father, we pray, do that work of grace, O God, we pray. Open hearts, we ask of thee. O God, we pray that tonight eyes will be opened to see the beauty, the loveliness of our Savior. So hear and answer prayer. Continue on with us now. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen. In the verse number 4, the opening verse that we read together from John's Gospel, chapter 4, we see that he, that is Christ, must needs go through Samaria. This was the intention, this was the desire of Christ at this particular time, as we find him here in John's Gospel, chapter 4. He had to go through Samaria. Whenever we set out in a particular journey to a particular destination, there are other places that of necessity we must pass through. In order to get from one place to another, there will be other places that we will have to pass through. And Christ had to pass through Samaria. But it was not that he had to pass through Samaria in order to get to his next place of service or ministry. It was not that he had to pass through Samaria in order to carry out some business there, or neither was it some sort of halfway house that he was going to and from. No, Christ must needs pass through Samaria for one reason and one reason only. It was because in Samaria that there was a lady, a woman, an individual that he desired to speak with and to save. There was a lady, while she knew nothing about it, that the Lord desired to reach with the gospel. The Lord was interested in this individual. Now, when we read of the Lord's earthly ministry, you will read that oftentimes he was taken up with the crowds. Oftentimes he was taken up with large numbers of people following after him, but yet so much of the time he dealt on a one-to-one basis with individuals. He was interested in the individual. Because you see, salvation is an individual, personal matter. You know how that Christ was interested in Nicodemus. You know how that Christ was interested in Zacchaeus. How that Christ was interested in that rich young ruler. And here we see him again, interested in another individual in this lady. Christ is interested in the individual. And tonight, in this gospel meeting, in this first gospel service of another new year, Christ is still interested in individuals. Thank God for that. And tonight in this meeting, you're here without Christ. Christ is interested in you. He has a desire toward you, and that desire is that you might be saved. And I believe tonight that Christ must needs pass through Sandown tonight in order to reach an individual with the gospel. This evening, Christ is passing this way because Christ is still interested in the individual. And tonight, I believe there is someone in this meeting and the Lord is desiring to save and change and turn your life around. Because that is His desire, His interest toward you. Maybe tonight, as you set out in 2020, you're seeking some sort of contentment. And so many people will desire in this new year that lies ahead, they'll desire peace. They'll desire contentment. Maybe that's you tonight. Here was an individual who desired contentment. That day she found Christ. Oh, I pray that this night, for whatever reason you've come to this meeting, that you would find Christ. You would find Him as your Savior. Tonight, as we consider the example of this lady and the example of this encounter, I want you to see, first of all, with me here that there's loneliness in this story. This woman came to this well to draw water, but she didn't come when everybody else came. The others would have come early in the morning. They would have come before the sun reached its height in the sky, before it got too hot and too unbearable to carry the water back home. Others would have come early to get water to get home before the heat became too intense. It was hard work, it was heavy work. And so it was always done in the cool of the morning. But this woman came at midday. We read in verse number 6 that she came at the sixth hour, the hottest part of the day. She came then because she knew there would be nobody else around. She didn't want to meet or talk with anyone else. She didn't want to have a conversation with anyone. She avoided them. She avoided contact with others. Why? Well, I believe the answer is given to us in the way she lived. That's accounted for us in verse 17 and 18. Verses 17 and 18 tell us that this woman lived a very immoral life. And it could well be that she, as those ladies came in the cool of the morning, that this lady was the topic of their conversation. As she came to draw water from the well, she would have been the point of their talking. And she knew it. But of course, she only had herself to blame because of the way she was living. She was living immorally before God. And it may well have been that those ladies that she would have come in contact with in the early part of the morning would have been affected by her immorality and by her way of life. No doubt it may have affected some of her families, their husbands, their sons. She was living an adulterous life and she was an outcast socially and morally. You see, sin in the life of this lady, I believe, brought shame. And it seemed that this woman, through the way she was living, was now the loneliest woman on the planet. Well, she sought for purpose. She sought for meaning to life in the cesspool of sinful living. She satisfied her own lusts, her own selfish desires by living it up in sin. But you see, as a result of such sinful way of life, she lived a very sad and a very lonely existence. She was shunned by society. She was snubbed by her neighbors. She was isolated. We have read how that she had had different relationships, and yet she was friendless and hopeless. She lacked any meaning and any purpose in life. She lacked any fulfillment, despite having, as she thought, all the things that this world was giving to her. She was still a lonely individual. You see, tonight, just as it was for this woman, so it is in 2020. Sin never brings fulfillment. There is no lasting satisfaction in sin, no lasting satisfaction in your rebellion to God and to the gospel. You see, you could be surrounded with people every day, and you could have any number of people and all sorts of friendships and relationships and move in all sorts of circles of people, yet be the loneliest person in this world because you don't have Christ as your Savior. You feel that this world, which is inhabited by millions of people, is the loneliest place. You feel all so alone when you live a life without the Savior. When you live a life far from God, when you live a life in sin for the pleasures of sin, that's exactly how you will feel. This woman, through her sinful lifestyle, thought that people loved her. She thought that people cared for her, but she found out how fickle human love really is. Human love can be so shallow and change so quickly. And as a result, it creates this sense of loneliness in life. Tonight, there is one. And no matter how many earthly friends or acquaintances may fail us and forsake us, and no matter how others may turn against us or ignore us or become spiteful toward us, and tonight, no matter how we have lived and how we have conducted our life up until this point, tonight, there is a Savior who still loves the erring sinner. Tonight, there is one who loves to save even the vilest of sinners. Tonight, there is one who can still reach down and lift sinners out of the dirt and the mire of their sin and bring them into a new relationship with Himself, that is, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you see, tonight, Christ is the greatest friend you could ever have. Life without Him tonight is meaningless. Life without Christ is lonely. But tonight, if you would receive by faith, turn from your sin and by faith receive Christ as your Savior, you will realize that there is no friend like Him. He is that friend that sticketh closer than any brother. And tonight it is that friend that I recommend to you. Tonight it is, He is the only one who can turn your life around. Here was a woman who was disappointed with so many. Here was a lady in John's Gospel, chapter 4, who was disappointed and discouraged with so much in this life. Her lifestyle, her relationships with so many people let her down. No doubt she disappointed people herself. But tonight Christ is no disappointment. Christ passes by this well for a purpose and for a reason, because there was an individual who in her loneliness needed to find the real meaning to life that was found alone in Christ. Dear sinner, tonight in the loneliness of your existence without Christ, He's passing by this way. Passing by this way to see of you and to give you real joy and satisfaction. The account of this story, there's loneliness. You see, without Christ, you can have all sorts of friendships, move in all sorts of circles, but without Christ, your life is lonely. There's not only loneliness in this story, but there's also emptiness in this story. Because following on from this sense of loneliness, we see the reality and the tragedy of emptiness in this woman's life. And this emptiness is seen most clearly in the fact that she didn't know who the Lord was. Verse 9, "Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which I'm a woman of Samaria, for the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." Verse 10, "Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." Here was a lady who didn't realize who the Savior was. In verse 25, we read, "The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ, and when he is come, he will tell us all things." When the Lord came to this well, he was tired from the journey, and as he sat down, this woman came to draw water, and he said to her, "Give me to drink." And she was taken aback. Oh, she knew that he was a Jew, she was a Samaritan. The Jews and the Samaritans never got on. And they avoided contact with each other like the plague. There was a cultural difference between them. But she didn't realize that the Savior, which was much more than a Jew, she only knew about his race. And she didn't know about his redemption. And such an ignorance in the heart about Christ brings an emptiness. Here was a woman still looking for the Savior. Here was a woman still looking for the Messiah. Here was a woman still looking for the one who would come and bring fulfillment into her life. And she didn't realize that the very individual she spoke with was the very promised Messiah himself. This woman believed that she could satisfy her longing and her lusting in people, but she was so badly disappointed. A life without Christ is an empty life. But that day, this woman's life was going to be changed forever. I don't think it's too far beyond the realms of possibility to say that that woman, as she set out on her journey to the well that day, had no idea of what was going to take place. As she set out to draw water from that well that day, in all the loneliness and all the emptiness of her life, she had no idea that she was going to find the real satisfaction in life. That day was just going to be like every other day. No different. Unlike Nicodemus in the previous chapter, chapter 3, who went searching after the Christ, this woman certainly was not searching after Christ. But thank God he was searching for her. And thank God tonight in this meeting, while you may have no desire to be saved or no desire to give your heart and life to Christ, he's searching for you. He's seeking you out and he's speaking to you tonight. He has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Oh, here in Christ we find one who knew all about this woman. Here in Christ, we find one who knew all about her, what she needed. He knew all about her emptiness. He knew all about her loneliness. He knew all about her sin. And how that her life was going nowhere fast. And it was Christ who came to fill her life, satisfy her life, and she didn't even know it. You see, the tragedy is that left to herself, she would have continued on in that state without God. Left to herself, she would have continued on a very lonely individual, a very empty individual. But thank God, the moment she met the Savior, her life was changed. She lived thinking that all this was all that there was to life. As far as she was concerned, just wandering from one catastrophe to another, wandering from one mess to another. You see, this woman didn't know the secret of a satisfied life because she didn't know who Christ was. She didn't know that He was the way, the truth, and the life. She didn't know that He had said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. She didn't know who Jesus was. And isn't that the problem? We've just come through the Christmas season. And so many have celebrated the birth of Christ, and yet they know nothing of why Christ came and the one who came. Listen, tonight, your life without Christ, without a knowledge of Him as Savior, will remain empty and unfulfilled. Oh, this world will offer life. This world will offer the bright lights of sin and the attractiveness of ungodliness. It'll offer all the pleasures that are to be found in sin, the drink, the loose living, the immorality, the cursing, the swearing, the rebellion, the rejection. This world will offer you all of this and much, much more. But it will never offer you and cannot give you lasting satisfaction. The cry of this world tonight is live for the moment. That's how this woman was living. Living just for the moment, living just for time, living just for self, fulfilling her own ambitions, satisfying her own desires. Oh, she didn't want to be bound or fettered by what others would say to her. She just wanted to live life the way she wanted to live. But that day she met the Savior, and that day her life was changed and transformed. That day, while she did not understand it or did not really appreciate it, she met the only one who could bring satisfaction to her. Today, this first Lord's Day of a new year, for you may just be another day. Here you are, another Sunday night in God's house. We're glad to see you and we want to thank you for coming. But I pray that this night will be a night like none other. I pray that this day will go down in the history of all eternity when the day you meet Christ, you see Him as your only Savior, as your only hope, that your eyes would be opened. And that you would see in Christ the full satisfaction and meaning that this life cannot offer. Oh, that tonight this would be a night when your life would be changed. We read on over in this same gospel when the Lord says that this is life eternal, that they might know Thee. The only true God and Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent. You see, tonight, you could know all there is to know about Christ. I dare say in this meeting tonight, there is not one who would doubt the fact that Christ is the only one who can save. You have a much greater grasp and understanding even than this woman had. And tonight you agree with the words of John 14 and verse 6 when the Lord says that He is the way, the truth, and the life. You know all about Him, but tonight do you know Him as your Savior? Tonight, in a lost eternity in hell. There are multitudes who knew all about Christ. There are those who sat in gospel meetings such as this, those who sat under the preaching of the Word of God week in and week out, and they knew about Christ, they knew about the God of the Bible, but they never knew Christ as their Savior, and as a result, their souls are lost. You know about Christ's death on the cross. You know about how that He came, He gave His life to bring eternal life. The problem is, tonight you still live on in your sin, not knowing in a saving, personal manner the Christ who came to save you. Oh, I pray that tonight God, by His Holy Spirit, would draw near to you and speak to you like never before and show you tonight your great need like never before of Christ. No doubt this woman knew many things. I think we can conclude that from the way she lived. But she didn't know Jesus Christ as her Savior. And whatever else you might know or not know in this world, if you do not know Christ as your Savior, then all other knowledge is vain and hopeless. There was loneliness in this story. There was emptiness in this story. But as we conclude, I want you to see that there's tenderness in this story. The Lord dealt tenderly with this woman. Oh, no doubt others would have rebuked her. Others would have avoided her, shunned her, spoke against her. But the Lord dealt tenderly with her in grace. The Lord spoke to her using the illustration of the water. She came to get water from the well to satisfy her physical need and to quench her thirst. And the Lord said to her, you see, more than a physical need, you have a spiritual need. You have a thirsting spiritually that can only be satisfied from the one in the one who is the water of life to your soul. In verse 13, he says, you've been drinking at the wells of the world. You've been seeking contentment at the wells of this world, but it didn't satisfy. Jesus answered and said unto her, verse 13, whosoever drinketh of this water, that is, of the wells of the world, shall thirst again. That word drink there in verse 13, it means to keep on drinking. And tonight, in this society, there are countless, countless numbers of people drinking, drinking, drinking at the wells of this world because they never satisfy. Here was a woman constantly drinking at the wells of this world. They brought no satisfaction. But then the change, verse 14, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. The word drink there in verse 14, it's a different word. It means one complete final activity. When you come to Christ, you will be satisfied. You'll not want for anything else. Maybe you tonight fear, if you were to give your life to Christ, what would you do with those old desires? What would you do with your worldly lusts? What would you do with your still, with what you would feel to be the hankering still after the things of this world? I tell you, when you come to Christ, He makes you a new creature and you have no desire for the things of the world. You give your life to Jesus Christ. You drink of the water of life that He gives. You'll not want for anything else. One trip to Christ and the cross will entirely satisfy your life. The Lord was tender with this woman in His words. But He was also tender with her in His way. He asked her to go get her husband. She says, I don't have one. He says, I know you've had
five husbands and the man you're with now is not your husband. What was the Lord wanting to do? He was wanting to convict this woman of her sin. Wanting to convict this woman of the way she was living. He was wanting her to acknowledge that she was a sinner. Because that's where you need to get to tonight. You need to realize before God that you are a sinner, that you are lost. He said in verse 16, Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband and come hither. There's conviction. There's conviction. And tonight the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, seeking to show to you just how much you need Christ and how much of a sinner you are. Because there'll never be conversion unless you realize just that you are a sinner before God. He said unto her, Go call thy husband. He was wanting to convict her of her sin. Oh, that tonight God, by His Holy Spirit, would convict you of your sin. Oh, that tonight God, by His Holy Spirit, would show you the error of your way. Because listen, He knows your heart. There's no hiding place from Him tonight. He knows how you have been living. But tonight He not only says, go, but He also says, come. There's compassion. The sweetest word, I believe, in the gospel is that little word, come. To this woman in all of her sin, in all of her wickedness, in all of her evil ways, the Lord said, come. Oh, that tonight you would see the tender mercies of God. That no matter how you have been living, you may not have been living like this woman lived. But oh, tonight you would see that without Christ you're a sinner. Without Christ you're hopeless, you're on your way to a lost eternity. And you would hear those words tenderly saying to you, come. Come just the way you are, come as you are. This woman came to that place where she acknowledged Christ as master of her life. Verse 25 again, she says, The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When He is come, He will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am He. What did she say then in verse 29? Is not this the Christ? Is not this the one we've been longing for, looking for? Here's the Messiah. Here's the Savior. Oh, she had called Him a Jew. She had called Him a prophet. But now she calls Him Christ. The anointed one, the appointed redeemer of sinners. She claims Christ as her Savior, as her Lord, as her Master. And her old ways of sin were over. What a work of grace. She went and told others. Verse 29, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. She wanted to confess her newfound faith. She had turned from her old ways. Verse 28, we read, then the woman then left her water pot. She left that place where she thought she would find satisfaction. My friend, tonight, you need to leave your ways of sin and come to Christ. And having come to Him, then you need to confess Him. Tell others of what Christ has done in your heart. Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Oh, here was a woman seeking contentment, but she found Christ. And tonight, Christ seeks for you. You may have no intention tonight of setting out to come to this meeting of ever being saved. But thank God tonight for the irresistible grace of God that can reach you and save you tonight. He desires to save you. Will you come to Him in salvation? Will you repent of your sin? Will you receive Christ as your Savior? Will you do it now? Doesn't matter how you've lived. Doesn't matter the rebellion. Doesn't matter the times you've turned Him away. Doesn't matter the times you've rejected the gospel. You come tonight, He'll save you. The Lord is tender. He's loving. Thank God tonight He's merciful. Will you come to Him? You leave your sin tonight. Come to Christ. Let's bow in prayer. And in the quietness, the closing moments of this meeting tonight, I wonder tonight, will you do business with God? I wonder tonight, will you be done with your sin? I wonder tonight, will you leave where you are and come to Christ? That woman had to leave her water pots. She had to leave that place where she was seeking contentment. And she turned to Christ. Will you leave tonight the old ways and come to Christ, the living way, the only way? Oh, that tonight in this meeting, that God may search your heart, His Spirit might strive with you, and that tonight He'd save you. Don't live on in sin anymore. Don't waste your life. This woman was going to waste the rest of her life, but thank the Lord He stepped in mercy. Christ can step into your life tonight. In the quietness and in the seat where you are, you can ask God into your heart. Oh, you don't need me, you don't need anybody. All you need is Christ. Will you come to Him tonight? He'll not turn you away. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. He didn't turn this woman away. He'll not turn you away either. Eternal God and our Father, pray, Lord, that in this meeting tonight, that You would be pleased, O God, to speak. God, we thank Thee tonight that You're passing by this way. We thank Thee, Lord, tonight that is so pleased, Lord, that You must needs pass this way. But, O God, we pray that as You have passed this way in the past and as, Lord, the invitation of the gospel has been extended and yet refused, Lord, that tonight it'll be different. Lord, that this night sinners will leave their sin and come to Thee. Give that grace, O God, we pray. Speak, O God. Strive in this meeting tonight. Make this a night of salvation. Make this a night of nights, a time when sinners will come, that their lives will be transformed and revolutionized by the gospel of saving grace. Do Thine own work, we pray. In the Savior's name we ask.